consider to England or France. You may like to gamble, you might like to dance. You may be the heavyweight champion of the world. You may be a socialite with a long string of pearls, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, indeed, you're gonna have to serve somebody. Well, it may be the devil or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Maybe a rock and roll addict dancing on the stage. Money, drugs at your command, women in a cage. You may be a businessman or some high degree thief. They may call you doctor or they may call you chief. You're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, you are. You're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
You are listening to Recovery Radio on KRFP, the coolest station in the nation. And Recovery Radio's, what's our purpose? It's an outreach of the Latah Recovery Community Center.
I was going to say, I can jump right in if you like. Yeah, I'm fine with that.
I've been doing this script for 2 years now, and I still can't remember it. I love that. Recovery Radio is an outreach of the Latah Recovery Community Center, and they're located at 531 South Main Street, Suite B, here in Moscow. Their phone number is 208-883-1045, and their hours are Monday through Friday, 10 a.m. to 8 p.m., and they are open Saturday and Sunday from 12 to noon for AA meetings.
12 to 1, that is.
12 to 1. Did I say 12 to 1?
You said 12 to noon.
Oh, 12 to noon. Yeah, well, very, very short AA meetings. The web address is latahrecoverycenter.org, and their email address is latahrecoverycenter@gmail.com. And you can also find them on Facebook and Twitter. Radio Recovery's mission is to share with our community how recovery from addiction and mental health issues affects us all, to make our community aware of the recovery resources available in our area, and to share the personal stories of people in recovery, highlighting their experience, strength, and hope for continuing recovery. And I am Johnny, and I am a grateful recovered alcoholic, recovered from a seemingly hopeless state of mind and body. And my co-host today is...
And I am Denise, and I'm a grateful believer and just really glad to be here. And
Yeah,
okay. You know, I mean, like I said earlier, I don't know why this is like this first day where I'm just feeling kind of tired for some reason. I don't know.
You look
it's weird.
Perky.
I'm hoping to shake it off so that I can just finish out the entire rest of the year just raring to go until like 9 o'clock at night. You know,
well,
I just
want
to roll out of bed, let my feet hit the floor and take on the day, you know, so.
Well, maybe go out and run around the block while we're in our music break or something. Get that blood pumping.
That might work. I might just have to jump up and down in here. Just, you know, just a little non-jumping jacks. I'm not going to wave my arms around, but I might just jump up and down.
That's all right. Our neighbors know what this radio station is about. And, you know, anything short of gunshots is probably acceptable and normal.
I doubt that my 5-foot self will shake the building too much. So,
good point. Good point. Well taken. Let's see. And the LRCC September calendar is here. And run through this quickly. Recovery coaching and peer support is goes on every day and by appointment. Alcoholics Anonymous meets there every day at noon. Positive Affirmations class is Mondays from 1 to 2. Recovering parents, they meet about 3 times a month, but the next one is going to be on Monday, September 30th from 3 to 4. Eat Smart Idaho, nutrition class is, let's see, also they run 3 times a month, and the next one will be September 23rd from 5 p.m. to 6. Life skills, Mondays from 5 to 6. Recovery Pure Volunteer Meeting is the last Monday of each month at 6 p.m. AA Big Book Study Tuesdays at 1:30. That's almost immediately following the Tuesday AA meeting. Chefs with Steve, Tuesdays and Thursdays, 5 to 6. Narcotics Anonymous, or NA, meets Tuesdays and Fridays at 5:30. The free meal or snack sponsored by Good Sam's, that's on Tuesdays from 5:30 till they're out of food. Addiction Support Group, Tuesdays 6:30 till 8 p.m. Mental and Addiction Self-Help, or MASH, that's Wednesdays 4 to 5. Positive Affirmations, again, evidently they meet on Monday and Wednesdays, but Wednesdays is from 5 to 6. Recovery International, Mental Health Self-Help. Boy, I couldn't say that five times fast.
I'm telling you, I think some of the wording in the calendar is kind of rough, but yeah, hey, I don't. I just try to do my best.
Okay, RJ, if you're listening. That's Recovery International Mental Health Self-Help, Wednesdays 6:30 to 8. New volunteer orientations are on Thursdays from 4 to 5. And the Right for You Support Group, which is open to all, support group is Thursdays 5 to 6:30. Lab is on the first and fourth Thursdays from 7 to 8:30. I'm pretty sure that's run by Nancy Casey.
So I was going to say, what's the right? The writing class, right for you, that kind of write. I was right. Like, right.
And that is a Nancy Casey thing, our mm-hmm. predecessor on this program.
Yeah, she's amazing. So
she does a great job. Yeah, right. And if you go on the website, there's a Write for You blog that she does mm-hmm. that explains what they're doing. It's really
awesome.
Cool.
Yeah.
It's really cool.
Wonder if she could help someone who's been out of, like, college and school for like 25 years. What do you think?
I'm pretty sure.
I'll be like, hey, I need to write my testimony, so you got some time?
Yeah, hey.
Oh, boy, I don't know. Maybe.
Maybe.
Sorry, Nancy, I might be hitting you up. I don't know.
Well, there you go. Let's see. NAMI, the North Central Idaho Family Support Program, meets in the second Thursdays of the month from 7 to 8:30. The All Recovery Meeting is from 5 to 6. Young Adult Addiction Support Group are Fridays from 7 to 8. The Movie and Game Night is Fridays from 6:30 to 9. You can check the website for what's going to be there. Veterans Coffee and Bitch Session at the American Legion Hall, Legion Cabin, I should say, on Howard Street. And I think that's tonight.
Oh, what day is it?
I think it's tonight. I don't have the flyer in front of me. Forgive me. I will send a text and verify that. Learn how to crochet and calm your mind is fourth Saturday of the month from 10 to 12. The opioid crisis hits home, and you feel free to jump in here. That's going to be tomorrow on the steps of City Hall.
Saturday.
Saturday. It's yeah. Thursday.
And it'll be running during the time of the farmer's market, is what I was told.
Right, from 8 to noon. And it's really going to be something. They're going to have 240 pairs of shoes.
Which are to signify all the people that have died in Idaho due to opioid overdose, and we'll also be doing something special for the people of Latah County that died from opiate
right.
overdose.
They'll have a different colored balloon for
so,
them.
And this is just for people who died from opioid crisis, you know, from opioids last year, so 2018, in the state of Idaho. I had to clarify this to somebody because I thought, mean like ever or like across the United States? I'm like, no, in 1 year, just in Idaho.
Right.
So... yeah.
240 people.
240 people. So, like, if you guys out there want to do some research, you could probably Google some stuff about the opioid crisis and find out that it is literally just wiping out thousands of people. So, yeah.
There were six in Latah County alone.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think nationwide, it's still pushing into the hundreds weekly.
It's a bad
thing.
Yeah.
So that's... Saturday, yes. The 21st, 8 to noon in front of City Hall. Stop by, and there'll be flyers there and people to talk to, EMS PAC, the
Chaz
alternate.
Clinic will be there.
Chaz Clinic will be there.
Scott's Community Care. I think Melanie from Scott's Community Care will be there.
And
Food Not Bombs will be there.
Yeah, Food Not Bombs will be there. And I think there's going to be... yeah, tables with information is going to be interesting. God, we just had a meeting on this 2 hours ago, and Mike's memory is obviously better than mine. And we'll introduce Mike in a minute.
This is why we have, like, more than one person talking about all this stuff. That's right. So that there's, you know,
And this is a very important
And the
event,
big, big pure social activity is the Latah Recovery Festival, which is coming up on the 28th. And that's going to be from, well, it says 4 to 9 at the fairgrounds. Actually, probably going to be 2 to 9. 2 to 5 is going to be the recovery birthday party. And from
year.
5 to 9 is going to be the testimonies and people speaking. And
I think that's about when they'll be eating the
chili cook-off.
So it's kind of like dinner and listen to the testimonies.
Right,
yeah,
exactly.
That's going to be pretty cool.
Exactly. And they're having a chili cook-off, so if you want to, you don't have to be in recovery to enter the chili cook-off.
That's
just
right.
Bring your chili, make sure you have it there by 4, and bring a list of ingredients.
It's
so,
also going to be extremely kid-friendly. We're going to have a bouncy castle and cotton candy machine, I think, snow cone machine, hopefully, so bring the kids on down, too.
Well, don't sell us on cotton candy unless you're sure, because...
Man, I can't eat any of that,
I mean, I would be on the fence if I
kids,
didn't know for sure. If it
kids would be all over that, and I just want to say that I was there last year with my kids that are 8 and 10. They had a great time.
Yeah, it was fun.
It really was fun.
I kind of showed up near the end, but I think I was out building fences for somebody's range.
And are they going to do, like, the thing where they're, you know, putting somebody down in the water tank? Is that going to happen maybe or not?
We're still discussing it, I think, but I don't know if there's any fact to base that on.
Yeah. I just brought that up because I remember at the fair there was this one guy there who was having a really great time with it on Thursday night, and he was doing really good at the whole heckling people and everything like that, and he got dropped a bunch of times, but he was fun.
Was
so.
That Troy from Pack EMS?
It probably was.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was pretty fun about it all.
Cool deal.
Yeah.
So that's coming up on Saturday the 28th. So mark your calendars. It's going to be awesome fun. And last but not least, Adult Children of Alcoholics Women's Meeting is on Sundays from 6 to 7:30. And again, all that or a lot of that is happening at the center, 531 South Main, Suite B here in Moscow. Check it on the web, latahrecoverycenter.org, or take a look at the Facebook thing.
Excellent.
And let's see. Oh, yeah, and a reminder, the crisis services expansion is coming along. I walked through it today. Looks like the walls are pretty much painted. Need to do some touch-up. There's a little electrical left to do, but it's coming along. Still shooting for late September, maybe early October. If you want to see it and get caught up or find out about it, stop into the center between 10 in the morning and 3 in the afternoon, Monday through Friday. Ask for Daryl. He's the center director, and he'd be happy to give you a tour, time permitting. He's a busy guy. You might even want to just call the center at 883-1045 and maybe make an appointment.
Set up
with
an appointment. You don't have to wait. And if you do have to wait to be able to have him show you around, you know, you could just check out that enormous wall of resources over there.
That's right. Or
maybe talk to somebody.
Talk to one of the volunteers. They can. Yeah. They're well versed on what's going on. They'd be happy to chat with you. That's why they're there.
Yeah.
Might even run into Michael. Which, oh, by the way,
he's in the studio today.
He's in the studio today. Woo-hoo. He's our guest. And Michael is a volunteer at the center and somebody I've known for a while, a few years now. And he just got a new position at the center, which we'll talk about down the road a little bit away. But welcome, Michael. Glad to have you here.
Thanks, Johnny. I'm glad to be here.
Why don't you tell our listening audience a little bit about your story and how you know, ultimately became involved with the center, and we'll go from there.
I was born in California, but I moved to the Idaho area at a young age, attending kindergarten in Troy, first and second grade here in Moscow, and third through 12th grade out in Potlatch. Experienced tragedy at a young age, and quite a bit throughout school, losing friends of mine that I knew to death. And then when my dad died when I turned 18, right after I graduated high school, I kind of went down a bad road using drugs and stuff. Been sober for 13 months now, though, and I got a new job with the. I'm actually staffed now at the Lathal Recovery Center, no longer volunteering. I'll be working at the Potlatch Outreach Center with the veterans and anybody in mental health or addiction need out in the Potlatch area. We also opened an outreach to the Kendrick Deary area, which my friend Melissa will be working at. And I've got 13 months clean and sober now and grateful to be here. Thank you.
Congratulations. That's
wow,
that's all.
That was quick and succinct.
I got to say that there's just amazing things that happen when you get into recovery, and that's just a really quick example of how, I mean, it's just one area in Michael's life that he's excelling just from being in recovery for 13 months. Yeah. I mean, things really turn around, don't they?
Yes, they do.
Yeah.
So you just, what was your addiction like? My little bit of background.
My DOC was meth, and as you can imagine, there's a lot of stealing from stores, or depending on how bad you get with your addiction, I guess, stealing from people, being a shady person and not doing what's right. And so I caught quite a few charges, a couple of felonies in less than a year, and I decided that it was time to do something about this. And so I got sober, and I've been sober since.
Now, were you involved in the drug court program as well?
I had done mental health court for a misdemeanor charge back in 2015, but I didn't succeed back then because A, I wasn't ready, and B, it was just a misdemeanor, so I was just like, I'd rather serve my time.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was just curious about that because I'd never really talked to you about that. I met you through the AA program when you were doing your recovery, and even though alcohol wasn't your bag, I know AA meetings are... some meetings are open, and you know, it's like whoever, and I think the attitude of most AA groups, not all, I know some that are really strict, if you're, and understandably so, because their primary thing is they're alcoholics and they want to help other alcoholics, and some alcoholics don't understand drug people.
There are more AA meetings.
There's a little different, but there are more AA meetings
in the Moscow area, and I always attended those too. I just replaced the drug of choice with alcohol. It's the same 12 steps basically, and if you need the support, you're going to find somebody at one of those meetings, even if it is a closed meeting or something that you can talk to. So don't let the term AA or NA discourage you from coming to a meeting. If you need help, get out there. It's there for you.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Good.
Yeah. And it's, I was just going to say, not saying that you did this, but it's pretty common to, you know, quit doing something. For instance, you could quit using meth or opiates or whatever and then start drinking because, you know, you can go to the store and buy that, you
right.
know, and yeah, it's not a felony if you're of age. So
it is real common to replace one addiction with another, though. Yeah. It could be even working more or mm-hmm. whatever. There's so many things that people tend yeah. to. And, I mean, the biggest key to getting sober is avoiding your old people, places, and things you used to hang out with, and staying busy is a huge help. You don't want idle time to sit and reminisce, but you got to keep a balance there, too. You don't want to replace one addiction for another. So,
yeah. Just lots of unhealthy behaviors.
right, exactly. Yeah. I know I've done that. You know, I kind of creeped to the edge of, with gambling, started getting a little out of control just because... It was something else to do.
That's a common one that I've heard of. Is that, do you? In your opinion, is it the excitement?
Yeah, it is the rush. It's the same thing.
It'd be like drag racing a car or something. That adrenaline rush is, there's nothing like it. So
exactly.
See, and if I would ever won the few times that I went gambling, maybe it would be a rush. But since the fact that I always lost, it wasn't a positive thing. So, I realized later that was probably a blessing. I was like, thank you, Lord. Because if I would have won, I'd have been back there.
Well, yeah, and that's why those casinos are huge and, flashy, and there's so much cool stuff there because, you know, the house usually wins.
It's also constantly, like, they're changing lottery tickets to suck people in when come out with new ones like Wheel of Fortune or Texas Hold'em or something attractive to the eye to get you to spend your money. And
That's right.
You might win $20, but then you're going to probably spend $50 trying to win that $20. So you're really not up anything. You're out $30. So, yeah.
Yeah, and the lottery, I've heard the lottery described as a retirement program for people who are really, really bad at math. Now,
right.
Not to say that you know, when it gets up to the billions and trillions, always seems
you'll
to
just
be
give
that
it a go. Every
always
now
seems
and then,
to
huh?
be that guy yeah. that just walked in and bought a quick pick on the spur
right.
of the moment,
and is like, yeah.
Yeah.
I honestly don't know that I could handle the responsibility of winning millions of dollars. I think I'd fail. I'm just saying, I'd probably, knowing me, okay, and I know I'm a little bit better than I used to be, say 5-6 years ago. But knowing me, I'd still blow it, and I'd probably come out in debt. And also, I feel like I'd wind up putting other people in positions they probably couldn't handle either financially,
that's
so common. And my thinking that I'm better than other people has always gotten me in trouble. So,
see, I don't know. I mean, if I won the lottery, I'd like to walk into a restaurant like Sherry's or something and drop $1,000 tip on the table and walk out, not say anything.
Oh, right? And ruin somebody else's life, huh? Okay.
Well, I don't think they could get too much trouble with $1,000. You'd have to like look at it and be like,
Yeah, exactly.
Do I know that they don't have any particular issues?
I'd love to think I'd be altruistic, but I tell you what, you know, I've done okay in my life once I got sober, and you know, I've got some money, and I have to spend more than a little bit of time keeping an eye on it and making sure it's doing what it's supposed to do, mm-hmm. you know, grow more money. It's supposed mm-hmm. to have money babies.
I love that.
That's a cool term,
that's
Donnie.
Using that. Well, you like that? Can we use that? We're going to use
yeah,
that.
Yeah,
now.
Absolutely can
cool.
use it.
Money babies.
It's,
wow.
Yeah, it just sounds better than interest. I'm making interest.
It really
does. No, I'm having
but
money babies.
If you,
but, you know,
if it's that much money.
If it was millions and millions.
That'd be so much work.
Like, I'm so panicked. You know, I think I'd put it in a trust and just have the trust.
And then you'd have to worry about what other people
me,
were doing with it.
You know,
it.
Mail me cigarette money and, you know, enough to make sure the mortgage was paid. Well, I'd probably pay off the mortgage, but yeah. No.
Money babies.
Yeah. It's, it could be crazy.
That's what I feel like, too, that it would be a lot of work. It could be kind of stressful. And that would actually matter if someone stole my identity. Right now, if someone stole my identity, I'm pretty sure that they would probably make it better than it is.
I'm right there with you.
Open up a bunch of
credit
cards.
It's not that that I was quote irresponsible lately. It's just that I got myself in trouble with like going to the hospital or something. You know what I mean? Not
right,
having insurance.
Right, no,
right.
No.
I
so
either.
I feel
I
like
a ton of hospital
yeah.
debt right now. So
yeah, I'm right there with you, man. Jeez, if I figure something good out, I'll let you know.
Yeah, right. I had a bumper sticker at one time that said, "He who steals my wallet steals trash." It's like, yeah, go ahead, take on all my debt, steal my identity.
Just make it better. To open up a couple credit cards in my name and like make it. I shouldn't be saying this on air. Anyways,
no,
so make it better.
As long as
I doubt
you don't
that's
throw
the idea.
Your birth date and your social
right,
out
yeah,
there,
then
you're probably
we're good.
Okay. Cause and plus, those people that are scamming are probably not listening to.
And they're probably
FD
not
gonna. Right,
they're probably not gonna do anything positive with it. They're probably gonna.
Right.
Know,
exactly.
Do bad things.
Exactly.
So
let's not encourage yeah. bad behavior. Let's see. Back to you, Michael. So you have I know you have a new position, and I'm going to be working with you as a mentor to kind of help you when you need help, when you ask for help, as far as getting the outreach program, the section of it you'll be working on, which is for veterans and also people with addictions in the Potlatch area. I know we're just barely into it right now. You just got hired like 2 weeks ago.
Actually, I got
ago.
Hired Monday.
Oh,
so
Monday.
It hasn't
right.
even been a week yet.
God,
like
it seems like
Monday.
It was a while ago.
I think
the paperwork
I think
went
the
through
interviews
on Monday.
Interviews were about a week or so ago, but we
that's
didn't
true.
Officially become staff at the LRC until Monday. So
that's right. Yeah, but anyway, so I know that's coming on down the road. But why don't you share some of your volunteer experiences? You know, what's it been like for you to work as a volunteer in the center in days past? And what sort of things did you do? What kind of people
I've
did
done,
you meet?
A bunch of different things, from cleaning windows and vacuuming floors to answering phones to doing intake, which is if somebody comes in and they want our recovery peer support services, we sit down with them and have them do an intake sheet, so we'll get their name and address and some personal information that we keep confidential, so we have a way to get a hold of them if they miss an appointment or something. And then we'll have them work on I think it's the wellness plan.
Mm-hmm. It is.
And
also a crisis plan, right?
Either the crisis or the wellness. I don't remember which one starts first. We have them eventually doing
like
all of it.
Those seven area things.
And then we have them do 12 great things about themselves as part of that first initial thing. And then we schedule them an appointment to see RJ. And then RJ, once he feels comfortable, we'll hand them usually to another peer support volunteer.
Mm-hmm.
So
there's a
process. That's good.
I'm going to try and slow you down a little bit here because I know you're trying to think of all the things.
Well, it's a tier. It's a tier based. So you start out at tier one, which is basically where you're going to be doing most of the grunt work, cleaning and stuff like that, getting familiar with the Blue Book and the resources.
Blue Book.
Yeah, it's where we record like the number of people that come into the center for certain activities. We don't mark NA and AA because it's confidential, anonymous, but we do record all the numbers of people that come in for, like, say, positive affirmations or for movie night or whatever. And it's to help us so we can get funding for the recovery center once they see our numbers and how well we're doing.
Numbers
served. Right. You got it.
Yeah.
That paperwork's there.
And then after you've got familiar with that and gotten everything signed off for that, you tier to tier two, which allows you more privileges like answering the phone. We try to keep that more to people that have been there a little longer because there's a certain way and certain stipulations about the phone. Like, you can't give out, like, if somebody, a probation officer were to call and ask if somebody was there, we can't confirm or deny that because we try to stay with the HIPAA laws and confidentiality. So we try to get people that have been there a little bit longer to have that training to know exactly how to respond to a question like that from somebody.
So there's actual training that you need to go through to achieve these different
before you
levels.
Can start doing the intakes, which is where I'm at now. You have to be observed so many of them and everything else too. So yeah, there's quite a bit of training that goes along with these things. You have to take the recovery peer volunteer class that Daryl teaches. One, when he has enough people, he has to have 10 for the classes to start, and we just got done with our last one, so it'll probably be about another 3 months before he'll even consider starting another one, and unless we immediately find 10 people that are interested, he might start one sooner. He likes to teach them, but
it's 6 hours.
He doesn't want to come out for 3 hours a day just for two people, so
it's like 3 hours, like two evenings,
2 days away,
or something.
Two nights a week, 3 day or 3 hour training, usually Mondays and Tuesdays. But I've seen it on other days. So.
I thought it went by really quick. I took that. It flew. It was
yeah,
great.
It
flew
does,
by.
It does
it
go
goes
by
a lot
quickly.
Faster than you think. It's quite knowledgeable. You gain quite a bit of knowledge from it. It's a pretty good class. I would recommend anybody that wants to help people with mental health and substance abuse take that class, even if you were in recovery yourself, or if you are a family member of somebody that has a problem. It might give you some knowledge on how to address that and not be so judgmental or whatever you might want. Because
you don't have
to.
Exactly.
You don't have to.
Help with the stigmas and stuff like that so that you know how those people feel and kind of where they're coming from. So.
Right, exactly.
Because you can take the class without saying that you're going to be a volunteer there. I mean, although it would be great to be a volunteer there, but you can just take the class if
you'd
like.
Yeah, you can just take the class.
Maybe just check it out.
To get the knowledge. I mean, we'd love to have you guys volunteer too. We definitely could use more volunteers, especially with the fact me and Melissa, who are both volunteers, are just got promoted to staff and won't be there as much. We're definitely down a couple people, so the more people want to come in and volunteer, the grateful Daryl and RJ and Sean and Amber would be. So, and it's good for you. I mean, it's a good way to get into some kind of service project and get outside of yourself. And I personally feel better when I'm helping people. So, for anything like me, I think it would be good for you to come on down and check it out.
I agree. It really does help. Even when you're going through stuff, it helps. Well, I'll speak for myself. Even when I'm going through stuff, it really helps to be able to just, see how my friends are doing, reach out to the community, get involved in things. And then it just gives me a better perspective about what's going on in my life. I don't know. It's just a magical thing. I can't really explain, but it works. And I've heard it over and over.
It's also nice to meet new people.
It is.
And people that have been going through the same fight you are are going through the same fight you are, to be able to help them along their journey and be side by side with them while they help you along your journey, and just to stay accountable to people and everything else. So
yeah, here's the reality from my observations. Not everybody is an alcoholic or an addict or has mental health issues, but they know somebody who does. They may have somebody close to them that is in one of those situations. They may know somebody who has somebody in their family, and this is how information gets spread. You know, it's like, God, I don't know what to, you know, we're sitting over having coffee after work one night, or maybe a cocktail, depending on, you know, your persuasion when as far as that goes. And one of your coworkers says, you know, I really don't know what to do. My cousin's niece, uncle's brother has got, you know, I think he's got a real drinking problem, and or he's just acting wacky and nobody knows what's going on. And you can say, hey, you know, I know of some resources that are available.
We also started an addiction support group Tuesday nights at the recovery center from 6:30 to 8. I didn't hear it mentioned on the calendar. It may have been, but I didn't hear it. Anyway, that's from 6:30 to 8. And that's open for family members of people that are in addiction.
That's awesome.
It's open for everybody. And it's not formatted like an NARA meeting. We don't talk about any of the steps. It's an open format, open meeting completely. It's just a chance for you guys to come in and kind of hear from some of us recovering addicts what it's like to be in that situation, and maybe that'll give you some knowledge of how to work with your loved ones that are in the same fight. So it's a completely open meeting. It's 6:30 to 8 on Tuesdays. It's a great meeting to go to. It's one of my favorites.
That's cool. Fabulous.
It's cool.
Coolaroo. Hey, you know what? We're about that time where we should probably go get a drink of water. Mm-hmm. Take a break for a minute, and we'll come back and we'll talk more with Michael, and hopefully he's going to share lots more of his cool information, and we'll do that in a couple of minutes. Here's a little Creedence Clearwater in their midnight special.
You wake up in the morning.
You're listening to KRFP in Moscow, Poland.
You hear the work bell ring. And I march you to the table. You see the same old thing. Ain't no food upon the table. There's no fork up in the pan. But you better not complain, boy. You get in trouble with the man. Let the midnight special shine a light on me. Let the midnight special shine a light on me. Let the midnight special midnight special shine a ever-loving light on me. Yonder come Miss Rosie. How in the world did you know? By the way she wears an apron and the clothes she wore. Umbrella on her shoulder, piece of paper in her hand. Come to see the governor. She wants to free her man. Let the midnight special shine a light on me. Let the midnight special shine a light on me. Let the midnight special. Let the midnight special.
And that was a little Creedence Clearwater Midnight Special, a little song about people going up the river in the old days when they sent them to prison. They'd go on the train. They called it the Midnight Special. Hmm. Anyway, a little history lesson for my younger friends here. You are listening to Recovery Radio on KRFP, the coolest station in the nation. That's my opinion, and I'm sticking to it. And I'm Johnny. She's Denise. And in the studio with us today is Michael, who's works with the Latah Recovery Community Center. And he's going to be doing an outreach program. It's a new program that's coming up. They're going to be doing outreach to Deary Kendrick and Potlatch.
Working with veterans and anybody suffering from any kind of mental health or substance addiction. So
right. And
or, well, any kind of addiction, really. So
right. And this this outreach is still in its infancy, so we don't have time, dates, and places, but we're going to be talking with people, Michael and Amber and Melissa and myself, talking to people in those areas, getting some space set up, I think, is the first order of business. And from there, we'll be moving to getting meetings organized for AANA type setups and mental health and
just kind of figuring out what the needs of the community are, so we can get what the community needs out there. Our primary focus is to, like Johnny said, get a place and get it started up out there, get the meetings going, and then once as we figure out the need of the community is, we'll be working to try and fulfill those. So
yeah, and that's, you know, that's the key thing about the recovery center. It's all about what the people need. It's not about a program they're pushing. You know, it's not AA, it's not NA. It's being able to put people together with the resources that they need.
Yeah.
And in a way, they want it to happen. Mm-hmm. It's not like you're going to go, you're an alcoholic,
all.
So you're going to go to AA meetings.
To steal a phrase out of our training from Monday and Tuesday, there's no one path to recovery. There's so many different ways you can recover.
Yeah. Right, exactly.
So, I'm looking forward to the opportunity to be working with people out there, veterans and anybody else that needs the recovery help of some sort. So I'm looking forward to this opportunity.
And that'll be a lot of fun. And I know there's going to be lots more trainings coming up, formal and informal, that Mike and I will be involved with. So
yeah,
I'm really
a
looking
training,
forward to that.
This week, I think Saturday, and then there's one next week, Friday and Saturday, that at the Best Western that they want us to attend. So I'm going to do what I can to make those.
Right, right. Oh, the one this week is tomorrow.
Oh, it's tomorrow. Yeah. Okay,
yeah,
tomorrow then.
Western. Yeah, mark your calendar, Michael. I know you just got stuck with that this morning in the meeting, but yeah.
Yeah, I wrote it in my notebook, but I didn't bring my notebook down here with me, so it was off.
Yep, got to keep good notes. Got to keep good notes. What's going on? I'm gonna sidetrack because we were talking on the break a little bit about CR, and I just thought I'd give you a chance to throw out what's going on with CR.
So if you are interested in coming and checking out Celebrate Recovery, the meetings are held at Real Life Church, which is right next to the dollar store over, you know, by Safeway. And those
East Side Marketplace.
Yeah, that would be a little bit more correct. That starts at 7 p.m. on Fridays, every Friday. And the first hour from 7 to 8, we start off with some music. And tonight we're going to have live music. Oh, this is so amazing.
You mean tomorrow night?
So, right, not right. Tonight, tomorrow night. Sorry, I got excited and I got all jumbled.
It was me. I've been calling tomorrow Saturday all day. So, I get it.
So tomorrow night will be the first time that we're actually going to have live music. The new director of worship, and I'm so sorry for forgetting your name. I'm gonna get it next time because my husband's on the worship team too, is going to get people together to play live. So that's just really amazing. The church has become so supportive of Celebrate Recovery, and they are starting to step up and help out in many different ways. So that's just... really great, and this is one of them. So the first group will teach. It'll be a lesson. It'll all be together in the room, and we'll just learn one of the lessons. And then for the next hour, if you would like to stay and attend, we break off women with women, men with men, and it's a mixed issues group that we have. And then also we just started a step study last week on the 13th. And so if you would like to check out a step study, it's still open for the next few weeks. So, you know, you could come sit down on it and then make a choice whether or not it's something for you. I welcome you to come out and join us tomorrow night at 7 p.m. at Real Life Church for CR. Cool. And just real quick, Celebrate Recovery is not just about addiction or, you know, like drugs or alcohol. It's hurts, habits, and hangups. So that could be anything from if you experience something as a younger person, a child or whatever, or you're going through divorce or...
You're having problems with your boss at
death.
Work.
Yeah. I mean, here I want to go extreme things, but honestly, yeah. I mean, it could just be for everyday stuff that you're just like, I don't know what to do with this. I go because I struggle with codependency and, you know, just kind of learning how to get good support and walk through things better and do it differently. So there's many reasons why people go. Yeah. So thanks.
Fantastic. Mm-hmm. Fantastic. All right. I just wanted to get that out before we forgot about it because we only have an hour-long show, and I know Michael can talk for way more than an hour.
Dude, we all can.
Thanks, Johnny.
Are you pepping him up there?
Yeah, I am. He deserves it. He's had a rough road. I've heard his whole story, and it's pretty scary. And he's... made a lot of mistakes and has been working a real strong program for 13 months. And, you know, that's something that should be applauded.
Heck,
I mean,
yeah.
It's not easy. It's not easy. I've been staying sober one day at a time for a bunch of years now, and I know it's not easy.
It's definitely not easy, but that's all you got is one day at a time, because tomorrow's not promised and yesterday's in the past. And as long as I do the things I've been doing, I can stay sober today, and then I'll worry about tomorrow when tomorrow gets here.
That's right, and you have dogs to be responsible to.
Mm-hmm. Cute ones.
Yeah, dogs and family and friends, and got to be there for everybody. I mean, I got to, people in recovery that I like to help out, you know, so I'm just got to be in my own recovery so I'm able to do that, because if I'm not, then I'm no good to anybody, so...
Yeah, I totally relate to that. It's things like doing this show, you know, being responsible to show up pretty close to 12:30. I left poor Mike and Denise standing out in the alley.
Just a couple minutes.
Yeah, so hey, they got some fresh air. Hey. Yep.
You know, it's a good chance to talk and smoke a cigarette before you got here anyway. So.
I loved smelling that cigarette. That was really great. So.
I know. You
I'm a non-smoker, and I will... be a non-smoker as of next month on like the 8th. So I plan on getting a little 6-month chip for that from CR. I'm just saying.
Oh boy.
They, you know,
if I had known that, I would have stood closer. I was trying to stand downwind because I didn't know.
Oh, I love the smell of that stuff. Oh my goodness. I don't think it would taste very good, but I like the smell. And honestly, I mean, it was obviously a big, you know, thing to get over my addictions, you know, to be in recovery from those. But cigarettes, and you know, that was my longest standing issue. You know, I started that when I was 13, so
oh my,
it wasn't the addiction stuff didn't come in until in my like late 20s. I was like 28 before I picked up any of those problems. So
oh my,
yeah,
oh my, that's tremendous.
Yeah.
And is your daughter continuing to go to church with you?
She's off
now?
And on. I think she came pretty strong for a couple months there, and I was just like, whatever, you know what I mean? Like, yeah. I mean, I was glad that she came, but that wasn't like. It got me into it, but it didn't really matter what she chose to do after that, but I'll start bugging her. She got a boyfriend.
Oh.
I mean, you know, maybe we can get them both to come.
Hey, there you go.
You know, you never know.
Where are you going to quit now to get the boyfriend to come?
Oh. I don't know if he's emotionally that involved, but I'll see what I can figure out.
Yeah, there you go.
I mean, we need it to be a willing thing since I stopped doing the manipulation thing, and I try not to guilt anymore, so...
Really? You're turning down one of a mother's most valuable tools?
No, I'm trying to shy away from guilt. So I pray, and that works really well.
Oh, there
I just
you
turn
go.
to God and pray, and I don't know. Usually it's about what he wants instead of what I want. And that's usually a better choice. So, yeah.
Do you have a strong relationship with your higher power, Mike?
Yeah, a fairly strong relationship, I would say.
Oh, good. Good for you. Yeah, I know mine pulls my hiney out of the fire from time to time. like
reaches down and
what time
like,
is it right now?
What are you doing? What are you doing, Johnny?
Yeah, right.
You need to behave yourself now. No, just kidding. I doubt
yeah,
that.
No, I, you know, it's funny.
He's probably encouraging you.
Really true, because, you know, I rely on my higher power when things happen. Like, somebody cuts me off in traffic, and, you know, I have this nervous reaction where the middle digit on my hand just automatically pops up, you know, for no reason. Mm-hmm. I mean, other than the stimulus of, you know, and then my higher power, who's sitting on my shoulder, goes, you know, he's probably just late for work and he didn't even see you.
Pipe down.
Yeah, it's like, oh yeah, okay. Yeah. Thanks, higher power. I appreciate the reminder. Mm-hmm. And it probably keeps me safe.
Probably.
And alive, you know, because reacting to that.
In California, you'd probably die.
Yeah. No, and I came from California, and it probably would have been an even fight, but yeah.
I mean,
you never know.
Yikes. I grew up as a teenager. I remember the first time I heard about, like, some road rage thing leading to people being shot and stuff and babies dying while they're driving, and I'm just like...
I
don't even know.
I don't think I need to go there. I think I can just
so
be
that's
sta-
that's
happy
in my,
with where I am.
That's stayed in my mind a little bit, so I don't know. The choice is to be better about not reacting poorly on the road.
Yeah.
I think that's one of my reasons.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it's all good. It's all good, baby. So what else have we got to do here? I guess we'll throw out, you know, reminders. This Saturday, opioid crisis hits home on the steps of City Hall. And there will be people there to talk about it, but the visual is going to be stunning.
And I think we'll be doing some kind of an outreach table there as well as the normal Lato Recovery Center, if I'm not mistaken from what Amber told me. So.
Right. There will be the veterans outreach information there. I don't know if Gabe is... Yeah, I think Gabe is going to be there. Gabe is actually active military who is working with Amber on the veterans outreach, kind of being
a
connector person.
Too, so.
Right, he is also a mentor. I think he's working with Melissa, right?
Primarily,
yeah. Yeah, it's going to be an old mash together. I haven't really had a time to sit down with him because he's a busy guy and working and keeping our country safe.
Right.
He's kind of involved with that.
Yeah.
So,
extremely important.
Yeah. I'm sure we'll be going over that. But it's going to be a stunning thing. So, when you're on your way to the farmer's market, you know, walk by and take a look at it, take it in. And, you know, if you have questions, talk to people.
Yeah, feel free to ask questions. We'll be there to answer them as best as we can. And, look forward to seeing you guys come on down.
Exactly. And then, again, on the 28th is the Recovery Festival. If you want to come down, try some chili. I think we're actually going to have people who eat the chili commenting and judging it as well as just the chili aficionados from the Recovery Center.
Yeah, I think they're going to do a People's Choice Award, but they're going to, the winner of the whole thing will be decided by a panel of judges, but I think we're going to have a People's Choice Award as well. So
fantastic.
Cool.
And that's, again, Saturday the 28th from 4 to 9. Well, 2 to 5 will be the birthday celebration. And, again, there's going to be a bouncy house there and crafts and sugary treats for the kids, depending on whether that
just
happens.
Sounds like
or
a
not,
lot of fun. And sure. I just got to say to everybody who is going to, you know, bring chili that you should bring cornbread too. I'm just saying.
Cornbread.
Really careful. Does help. Somebody, I recall somebody saying that they were going to bring some cornbread. So
I think it was Amber.
I like spicy
I think it
chili
was too.
Just to let the public know. So bring some spicy chili on in.
Yeah. It's probably enough to just make the chili. So maybe somebody else could bring cornbread. There we go.
Yeah, there you go. There you go, and cornbread, and chili. Yum. Mm-hmm. Actually, my wife does cinnamon rolls and chili for lunches. So
You better bring some of that down to the Recovery Center, Johnny.
Yeah, I should do that.
Can you work on manipulating and guilting her into some of that, or maybe just prayer?
No, I'm pr- pretty sure.
Oh, we could just ask her a question.
She's pretty much immune to the manipulation and guilt. I'm not very good at it.
That's cool. That's good for her.
Turning it on myself. So
that's good. Then you're making better choices with how you go about things.
That's right. I try to.
I'm not
always successful, but you know what? Sometimes you just got to try. Well, kids, we're about up against the clock here. So I think it's going to be time to wrap it up. Say thank you to Michael for coming down.
Thank you so much, Michael, for joining us.
No problem. We're so glad we have you. The opportunity to be here.
It's awesome.
I'm sure we're going to book you again once the outreach to Potlatch gets rolling along and we get more information on it.
Mm-hmm. Sounds good. I'll be looking forward to it.
Yeah.
Fantastic. Yeah. Thank you for all you do too. That's awesome.
Yeah. Thanks for staying sober for 13 months and not being somebody I have to worry about. I really appreciate that. Thanks. I really do, sincerely.
Yeah, I appreciate that too, and I'm thankful for this opportunity. So I'm grateful for being able to stay sober this long and. Mm-hmm.
And maybe the rest of the day even.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, I'm pretty sure. I'll make it through the rest of the day at least. So
there you go.
Shouldn't have to worry too much about that.
That's right. And tomorrow ain't here, so that's
right?
Cool.
So you are listening to KRP Moscow Pullman's Recovery Radio, and Johnny always likes to say,
you know, if you think you have a problem with drugs or alcohol, you do.
Sing that can't be sung. Nothing you can say, but you can learn how to play the game.